This episode of WDW Today is brought to you by our friends at Off to Neverland Travel. You've heard about us talk about them for the last month, and we're going to be talking about them all year long. And there's a reason. They're a great travel agency. They're not just some Disney fans who threw together some travel agency, get a little kickback from your vacation. No, they are Disney experts with an amazing connection to Walt Disney World. And I encourage you to go check out their story at the website gotoneverland.com. You'll be potentially emotional after reading it, and you'll really want to connect with these folks. They are great people. They currently got that great dining plan option, that free dining. It's a little bit different this year. I think you've probably heard about it. It's quick service dining. It's all based on the hotel you stay at. They're going to help you with that. Maybe that's perfect for your family. Maybe it's not. They'll help you guide and navigate through your entire Walt Disney World vacation. Again, you may be a first timer. You may be a long timer. It doesn't matter. It helps to have someone who knows every little bit about you. They want to know about you and about Walt Disney World to help you plan the ultimate travel vacation. Give it a try at gotoneverland.com. Remember to use that domain. It's gotoneverland.com. That tells them you heard about it right here on WDW Today. And as my buddy Will Haynes always likes to say, all you gotta do is pack. That's right. All you have to do is just pack. Gotoneverland.com. And now, on with the show.
Give me a little intro there, Gomer.
Bringing the world to your world. This is WDW Today, coming to you from somewhere off property at the Laugh-O-Gram Studios, featuring Len Testa and the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter. Now here they are, Terry Weaver, the nature boy Will Haynes, and your host, Logan Seculo.
It's Wednesday, February 3rd, 2016, and this is episode 1497. Is that right? 1497 of WDW Today. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
I'm Terry Weaver.
Terry Weaver checking in. Logan checking in. Will checking in. We've all had a crazy week. Last time we talked to you, we were all snowed in. Now it's 65 and sunny. Beautiful days here. Well, I guess not sunny right now. It's raining right now. But that's beyond the point. We're not talking weather. We're here to talk about what's coming up later in the show. So we got a trip report coming up from Terry. He was down at Walt Disney World. He's going to tell you all about that. We obviously got quote quiz. We got a little bit different listener questions. And also, you're going to want to stay tuned towards the end, especially if you're an old school fan of WDW Today. We're going to throw it back a little bit as a special tribute to our friend, Abe Vigoda. But that's coming up. But first, it's time for quote quiz.
Quote quiz.
All right, you all know the rules to quote quiz. Blurt out your name first if you hear it. Today, I am doing quote quiz. I'm giving the quote. I believe it's my turn, correct?
We're going to... The new rule is that the leader is going to give the quote so we can try to usurp their reign.
So right now, I'm the leader?
Today's rule.
It's 3-2-2, right?
No, it's 2-1-1.
Something like that.
We've only done four episodes, so
I don't
it's 2-1-1.
It's all crazy around
here. Well, last time you said we're all even.
In private, it's 3-2-2. All right, well, we are joined today. My surrogate today is Brandon in the studio with us, part of our Nashville Society. If you're in Nashville or the area and you want to be part of it, we do meetups, we do events. We also just have general chatter, people meeting like-minded folks. Make sure to send us a message, and you can join the WDW Today Nashville Society. Hi, Brandon.
Hey, what's going on, everyone?
Brandon's here. He's in the studio. He's playing for me. So Brandon knows the rules. He yells out his name if he knows this quote.
And he's playing for a Laugh-O-Gram prize pack.
Yeah, Laugh-O-Gram prize pack, which last time was like hats. It was really good. Mm-hmm.
We'll see what's in the prize pack today.
This time we give him a laugh.
Yeah.
Ha!
Or we let him out of the studio. Like, he gets to go home.
Unlike the others who are still waiting there, I can just hand it to yours because they're all in my office. So there you go. All right. So it's time for quote quiz. Everybody ready? Ready.
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 All right, so here's the quote. We've gathered here tonight around the fire.
Will, Country Bears Jamboree.
No. I can already tell this is going very well. All right, do we need a first hint? All right, we've gathered here tonight around the fire. It's not a traditional attraction. Maybe it's a show.
Oh. Will.
Will.
Illuminations.
That's it.
Yeah.
Will gets it.
Around the Earth.
He didn't Google it at all. It is Illuminations, Reflections of Earth, because you gather. It's like in the intro that Jim... Fun fact, Jim Cummings does that. You know who that is? Who Jim Cummings is? He's the voice of Winnie the Pooh, voice of Tigger.
Ho, ho.
And he does, oh, boss of what? We're gathered here tonight around the fire.
I love Winnie the Pooh, honey.
You know what this American restaurant could use? A little honey.
You sneezed.
Oh, yeah.
Bless you.
Stuffed with.
Stuffed with fluff.
No, what's the drink? The one we had with the Asian drink with the chocolate.
Tipsy Ducks in Love.
Oh, stuff with Tipsy Ducks in Love.
All right, thank you, Brandon. I'm sorry you lost.
That's okay. At least it's my favorite show at Walt Disney World, so that works.
I don't know if I'd admit.
And you know what? Learn the stick and script by now. All right, Brandon did not win, but we don't let anyone go home empty-handed. We'll send him home with something. I don't know what. He could just pick something out of my office.
I'm gonna laugh.
Huh? I see everyone's a winner here. Thanks.
What he did win was some fantastic Winnie the Pooh impressions.
Moving on from everyone's favorite segment of the show, we're going to move on quickly now to Terry's trip report. Terry, you had the distinct privilege of visiting the Walt Disney World resorts in January.
Resorts and spas.
Yes, I did.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, we want to hear what changed, what's new, what's going on.
What's growing? What's showing?
One of the things, just because we love our listeners, I wanted to make sure that I experienced some things that I hadn't experienced before, which is in fact something I always do when I go to Disney to make sure that I'm experiencing something brand new.
Went parasailing.
No.
You did fishing.
The water sprites. You brought them back.
This is another game. Yeah. They still have the water sprites.
I've done the water sprites.
Not as fast as you remember.
In fact, that's what I meant by brought them back, like you haven't done them in a while.
Okay. I thought you meant like they brought them back.
No.
Sorry. Corrections.
Folks, I always get lambasted. I'm always told that I'm wrong.
Wrong.
I don't know anything. But I'm always, I know what I'm talking about sometimes.
Well-informed Will. Welcome to the podcast.
Nature boy, well-informed, Will Haynes.
So one of the things that I was most looking forward to was finally getting able to check out the Skipper Canteen.
Oh, yeah. I've heard a lot about that.
Yeah. And, I've heard mixed reviews from people, so I was a little unsure of what to expect. But I'm a huge Jungle Cruise fan, so the idea that I would be able to eat and have bad puns for the entire meal really excited me, and they did not disappoint.
That's
so
great. Where is it? Where is it physically located?
It is right next to where the Dole Whip
was,
and is now Sunshine Terrace, and across from the Swiss Family
Treehouse,
which I have never done.
Really?
Never done the treehouse.
Not maybe as a child I did it, but it's one of those that...
It's just there.
It's just there.
People forget it's there. Yeah, I've done it probably once in the last decade, so I can't really like lambast you. Like, how dare you? It's like, well...
That's the second time lambast has been used on this current podcast.
We have words that we use sometimes. I feel like...
I said lambast. Logan said lambast.
I based it a lamb.
Do we need a word of the day? Is this like Pee-wee's Playhouse where we need a word of the day? And
it's not like Pee-wee's Playhouse.
But cheer.
You know what I'm currently afraid of? That we're using the word lambast wrong and we're going to get an email about
you're
it.
Need an email.
How dare you?
Yes, the grammar police.
Greek cafe is going to get out to us.
It's lamb-based.
It's lamb-based. All right. So Skipper Canteen,
which does serve lamb.
Oh, there you go.
Segue. Hashtag segue. And, from the moment that you check in and get taken to your table, you're greeted with all of the awesome Jungle Cruise. In fact, the uniform they wear is completely the Jungle Cruise skipper uniform, which is a lot of fun.
They didn't have to make anything new.
Yeah. Which, for a brief moment, was like, wow, they kind of phoned this in. They didn't even give them their own outfits. But
so, you know how you... used to just be leading the boat ride. How do you feel about bussing tables? Could you do that too? Job skills?
Yeah. So you go in, you're greeted, and they kind of tell you a little bit about the restaurant. And the restaurant is broken up into three areas. And the first big area is the kind of their, what they call their, their canteen or their commissary, which is kind of the big room. And then the Schweitzer family has like a private room, and that's a place you can sit. And then there's like a library kind of thing.
Is it the Schweitzer family or is it the Falls family?
No, it's the Schweitzer family.
It is? Because I thought...
Or is it the Falls family?
Well, the joke, the pun is Schweitzer Falls, as you know, Albert Falls.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, so yeah, it is the Falls. It's Dr. Falls.
I'm just throwing it out there.
You're correct.
I know my Jungle Cruise puns.
You know your Jungle Cruise puns.
Yeah.
Which I've heard speaking of Jungle Cruise puns, at Disneyland,
they're getting refurbed.
they're under refurb right now.
Really?
But you can go to Skipper School, where they literally walk you through the. I've heard a lot of people going through this, where you can go through and walk through like all of the puns and all of the. They teach you the script in Skipper School.
So anyone can.
Anyone can.
This is like if you're applying for a job.
No, yeah, it's like a fake job, which. Hey,
who doesn't want to do that on vacation?
Yes.
Exactly. Would you like to pretend to have a job interview?
Yeah.
This is like, sounds like a joke theme park you'd read on The Onion or something. Like monster theme park where, you know, it's monster.com. You go, you apply, you go through the old application process. You have your first round interview. Yeah. Then you get a fast pass for the second round interview. And later, you're, you just get turned down.
This is why Disney Institute failed. All right, so Skipper Canteen.
Skipper
food, has a food.
So, we get to our table and we meet our Skipper Robert, who was absolutely fantastic. His puns were top shelf. And
give me an example.
Top shelf puns. We don't want to spoil it.
Top shelf puns are not good jokes. They're like so obnoxious. If it's a top shelf pun, it's the worst thing you've ever heard.
Yeah. Okay, but
and there was an elephant in the room joke, which are pun, so that excited me. So, and there literally is a giant elephant in the ceiling. So
they set that up just for
They
you.
Set that up just for me. They heard
it
I was coming.
It excites you because you're a...
elephant fan.
Yeah.
And there's elephants in all kinds of Disney attractions that you have no idea that they're there.
What did you order?
What did I order? Well, I started with, we had the, that day we had the deluxe meal plan, which means the stuff your face meal plan. And so that means you get an appetizer, an entree, and dessert. So
for lunch
it was a we opened up the place, we got there right away, and that's my advice right now. You can't do advanced dining reservations, so that my kind of tip to get in quickly is just be there when they open, which I think is about 11:30. And we literally were sat within 5 minutes. I had the arepas and my wife ordered the falafels.
Cool.
Nice.
So
very non-Magic Kingdom-y kind of
yes,
meal.
It's completely. You know, if you're looking for cheeseburgers, and if you're looking, this is not, currently they really haven't done a lot for that.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's been some pushback in the Disney community for that, but I think.
Like for kids and stuff. Is, like there, for, yeah, is there a kid?
I think there is a kid's
probably,
menu.
There's got to be a kid's menu. Yeah. You always get the chicken nuggies on the.
Chicken nuggies.
Chicken always, nuggies. Always available.
Was it a chicken nugget arepa, or what was in the arepa? Yeah, beef?
It was like a beef arepa, yeah. I think.
How was
and,
that?
And they were fantastic. And my brother-in-law is from Venezuela.
Nice.
And they were really good arepas. So, and the whole meal kind of has this like international, different place, different food from kind of around the world.
Like you're going on safari.
Like you're going on safari and all the places you'd stop. My wife randomly ordered the steak, which she never does at Disney, but it was because they had yuca fries. And she loves good yuca.
Yeah,
so.
That sounds good.
And I got the five-headed shrimp.
So
they
each
literally
shrimp had five heads?
No, they were just five.
You had five shrimp
five
with
shrimp.
Heads on them.
Yeah, it, you know, that probably wasn't my favorite.
Yeah.
But my server recommended it, and I was, you know.
Yeah, seafood, it's weird because we're in Florida, but seafood, I feel like at Walt Disney World and the sort of the middle range restaurants, I generally stay away from. Not because I think it's not going to make you sick or it's bad. It's just not the greatest. At this place, I haven't tried it yet, but just the fact that they have those options is cool, though, because typically you are stuck with, especially at, like I said, like not, you know, be our guest or something like that. You're stuck with kind of very traditional options of fast foody,
kind of boring
theme
food.
Park bland food, which they do because it appeals
and
to everyone.
The five-headed shrimp or anything but bland. They were like literally on fire. I think,
oh,
because they were.
That's really not Disney World.
Yeah, they were like, I'm gonna need an extra glass of water, hot. So,
So not your typical Disney restaurant.
Slap your mama hot.
Yes.
Isn't that a hot sauce?
I don't know. I think that's something you say.
Get that at Tijuana Flats.
Yeah. Get that south of the border. Uh-huh. Headed down. They got a large hot sauce collection. Hot sauce and fireworks.
So what
else?
Yeah, how's dessert? Did you try your wife's steak? Did you try the steak?
I did. Well, that was the other reason I got the shrimp, because I was like, I know she's not going to eat all of that steak.
Yeah.
And the steak was fantastic.
How big a steak are we talking here?
Yeah, probably a...
1 ounce?
How big a steak are you?
How big a steak are we talking
probably
about?
Probably a 10-ounce New York strip.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean,
New York, so very safari-ish.
Yeah, you know.
Well, but the Explorers Club theme.
Ah, there you go.
You could. I'm Explorers sure they may.
Adventures
serve.
Club.
That's what I mean. Adventures
the Explorers Club is in New York. That's what
yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Which is the adventure? Which is like the real Adventures Club.
Yeah, I tied them together.
Yeah, and there was definitely some nods to the Adventure Club, and that which brings us to dessert. I had the Kungaloosh.
Very nice.
Which was the greeting at the Adventures Club.
Yeah.
And was also a beverage of choice there. So they kind of did a throwback
with
the Kungaloosh.
Old NPH tweeted that the other day. Old Neil Patrick Harris.
Oh, yeah?
He's like, I had a great time at Epcot, hashtag Kungaloosh. I was like, there you go.
There you go.
Did you reach out to him yet about being your co-host on the Spice Girls podcast?
Oh, my God. That's a dream.
That would be fantastic.
That's the greatest thing I've ever heard. Got anything with Neil Patrick Harris. I'm a member of a private club that he used to run. I probably should specify that.
Logan's a member of Neil Patrick Harris's private club.
I'm a member of a club he used to run called the Magic Castle. It's an awesome place. If you do want to go, reach out to me, and I may be able to hook you up. So if you're in L.A., it's a great little stop. If you like magic, and if you're a magician or a supporter of the magical arts, all right. Off of that, Kungaloosh, Neil Patrick Harris, back on track.
Yeah, the Kungaloosh is like a brownie. It has ice cream and caramelized bananas.
Speaking my language.
Yeah, and it was fantastic.
It's caramelized tomatoes?
Bananas.
Oh, I'm pretty sure you said tomatoes.
He said bananas. I heard bananas.
I heard tomatoes.
Like, we'll review the tape.
That's the grossest thing
ever. Let's run the tape.
I don't even want to try that.
Caramelized tomatoes is... It's like burnt ketchup.
Yeah. Well, that's now you're kind of talking about
life. Could be good. All
right. And then the missus had the coconut bar, which was fantastic. It was kind of like a, you know, coconut like candy bar, just with the coconut.
A kind
it was
bar.
Like a Mounds without chocolate. So,
Okay. Yeah. So, just coconut.
So, on a 1 to 5, what are we talking here? On a 5-elephant scale.
On a 5-elephant scale. You know, the food was probably like a... like a 4, but the experience was like a 6 or 7. I mean, it was just over the top. It was a lot of fun.
Especially or 7 for you is over the top. What is a 10?
Damn. He said on a scale of 5.
Oh, yeah, yeah. 5 elephants. It's 6 or 7 elephants.
That means it's a top.
It's a grand old elephant.
That is a 6 or 7 out of a scale of 5. So it was like a home run.
Yeah, I theming. Thought the theming was fantastic, and the only reason I would see you not liking
it's like a grand slam.
If you hate the Jungle Cruise, this like is going to be the worst dining experience of your life.
Okay, yeah, that's true. And some people do. Some people hate the Jungle Cruise. They hate the puns. Those people probably aren't listening to this, but there are people that do. So you gave it 7 out of 5 elephants. So let's ring those.
That was a 7. We have people watching us through a window really confused. The best part about that ringing of the elephants was that Logan and I waved our arm like a drunk.
You can't do it without it. The last time I did that was, you know, it's been a couple
I think
days.
We're going to rate things from now on the podcast using that scale.
Only when you do.
Yeah, and you're going to have to do the whole...
Logan and I have to call it out afterwards.
It tickles your lips.
Yeah, tickles your lips.
Oh, goodness.
Quote quiz!
Well, the other thing I got to try was the Boathouse.
Yeah.
Which, when you hear the Boathouse and you kind of do a little study, I learned that it was themed by the same people who did, like, Rainforest Cafe... and T-Rex. So I was like, okay,
so
this is
a Landry's.
It's a Landry's. Landry's. Well, it's the, I don't know if it's officially a Landry's restaurant.
It's a Landry's like.
It's this, there's a guy that, you can buy his book at the Boathouse, but he's the guy that like does all these like
the design.
The design and the theming. And so I was like, what in the world is there to just be like talking boats in the restaurant? And, but the food at the Boathouse was fantastic. The theming was super classy. It sort of reminded me of a place like you'd go and like, Nantucket or, you know, some East Coast beach town. And we got a big, huge pile. It was literally like a pile of truffle fries for an appetizer. And you guys, I know you guys are truffle fry aficionados. And we got the lobster bake for 2 because it was just literally like the best value on the menu by the time we ordered 2 entrees.
We got 10 entrees. We were full.
This is the Lintesta plan. That's what it is.
But yeah, the Boathouse was a lot of fun. Enjoyed it. It was definitely, you know, it was fun to try something new. And
pretty
you
good
know,
price.
Yeah, I thought the price was good. And for me, you know, the one thing I'm excited about Disney Springs is for years Disney Springs has just kind of been like, you go down there, you go to the store, and the food was never good. There just was never a lot to keep you there. And now I really feel like, man, that, you know, getting to walk around there and see all the construction in place and just everything that they're working on. And I did duck my head into the hangar bar. And we kind of sat down and waited for like 10 minutes and no one came. So we just kind of bailed on that.
That's disappointing. Did you try that Baked Alaska thing?
No, I didn't try Baked Alaska.
That shows up on my Facebook feed like probably every 2 days.
I feel like that we should all abstain from that until we can have it with Lynn.
All right.
And so it feels like we should.
I thought you were going to say we could all three have it together. But
Lynn's had everything on the menu.
I believe so, yeah.
I think cover that all
just, when Lynn goes to a restaurant,
well, there's, well, he goes, of, he goes with like, he does. That's kind of his business. He goes with like 30 people okay. and they do that. But yeah, I think they've had it. It looks visually, it looks awesome. Go check, Google the Baked Alaska at the boathouse.
They brought it out. It was amazing.
It looks awesome.
I want to go do the dream boats.
Oh yeah, I saw that you could rent those boats.
They're like car boats, right? That, yeah, they look like the classic cars.
Yeah, amphibia cars, whatever they call them.
Yeah, amphibian cars, yeah, they're...
And you can rent them? You can just walk up and rent them, I think?
I think you get a driver.
You do get a driver?
They call them the Captain's Italian Water Taxi.
Okay, what he said. Yeah. Always got to have some sort of trademarkable name at Walt Disney World. Well, that's great, man. I want to try that out. I want to try Morimoto. I can't even say that. Morimoto. Is that right? I think that's right.
Yeah. I want
to try a few of those places. I haven't been down since Disney Springs,
We did not get to Morimoto. In fact, we kind of were looking for Morimoto, and it's sort of like on the other... It's there, but like... You know, with the construction fencing up and all of the like,
because it's still Disney Springs, but it's not done.
Yeah, it's very like, and when we went, it was very crowded because it was still just busy season. It was a busy weekend, and so, you know, there was people everywhere. So we just kind of we wanted to try the boathouse and at
Disney.
Well, there's different like levels of Disney.
You elitist. No,
I'm a huge fan of going at like when. It's off season at half empty.
Well, I think so. Everyone would prefer that. It's just sadly people can't. I only go between Christmas Day and New Year's Day. I take that week and go. Well, a lot of people look. The reason it's the busiest is because that's when people could travel, and that's because of work. We're very thankful that this is part of our job, and that you guys listen. We hope, you know, that is one thing that I want to say. I hope we don't offend people when we say yes. You should try to travel in these days. We know a lot of you can't. A lot of you have kids and all that. Look, it's not like going at New Year's Eve is the worst possible thing you've ever done, but it may be in the top 10. it gets pretty crazy. But beyond that, we know we're going to gear shows towards the masses as well. We're going to tell you that these are the preferred dates to go, but when you have to travel, you have to travel. If it's your one trip to Walt Disney World per year, we understand you're going to take it the week of Thanksgiving, you're going to take it the week of Christmas. That just happens. Anything?
So one of the super cool things we got to do that we didn't even think we were going to get to ride the ride just because I knew it was closing, was we got to be on the final flight of Soarin'.
Yeah.
And we had gotten in line just at the right time. And because when any time a classic attraction is going for a long refurb, there's always a group of people that are there. And so all day, like the fast passes were gone all day. Yeah. And
Especially since it's not a refurb, it's really
a reboot.
Reimagining of the attraction.
And so we kind of waited until, like, we did the old let's go in 10 minutes before park closing and get in line.
Yeah.
And because a lot of time in the signs are always wrong then, because they always say, like, it's 90 minutes. And I'm like, I looked at the guy and I was like, it's like 20 minutes, right? He's like, oh, yeah. And so we got in line and we were held and said, hey, do you want to be on the last flight? I was like, heck yeah, we want to be on the last flight.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of, like, cast members. You could tell a bunch of them had come for the last flight. And, you know, they said over the announcement, you know, they said over the loudspeaker. I think you found it on YouTube, but I told you about
it. Yeah, you can find it where they do it and people cheer. And
people cheer. It's a lot of fun. And
yeah. And not as emotional probably as like a closing, because it is coming back hopefully better. Because at this point, Soarin' was a little beat up.
Nicole on last week was talking about the final night of the Osborne Lights. Yeah. That was a truly emotional experience.
Yeah.
This just sounds more like everyone was having a blast.
Yeah, it was super fun. And you were kind of like, you're watching the show the whole time and you're like, wow, there's a hole in the screen. And, you know, the tape is so, this, you know, the film is so staticky. And you
there's a good reason they're refurbishing it.
There's a good reason they're refurbishing it. And
so it's going from Soarin' over California. I know we talked about this in a previous episode, to Soarin' over the world.
Over the world, yes.
And that's going to be coming in the summer, midsummer.
Sometime in summer. I think they're saying a date in June is the current date.
We still have the open invitation for anyone with a drone to make
Soarin' over Florida and just make it as really as rednecky as possible.
Yeah.
So we need Panama City Beach. We need swamplands.
Swamplands, gators, a lot. Gators. Gator farm, preferably.
We need maybe a burnout golf course. Not a good one. I want one that's like been overgrown.
Go to Sable Point. I know.
Longwood, yeah.
I specifically know of a golf course that would fit the bill.
Yeah, like, look at those weeds. Beautiful. Yeah. If anyone wants to buy Sable Point Golf Club, Will and I will come run it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's just, there's just, we're just throwing out
where
there.
Where is Sable Point?
In Longwood.
That's where I
that's
I
where,
live.
Where, yeah, okay. Where Will lived, so. We went by there the other year, and it was...
The neighborhood looks great.
Neighborhood looks great.
The golf course is shut down.
Literally shut down. So it's just like paths of...
So it's like golf community built on a golf course mm-hmm. with a dead golf course.
Really big.
Not even like an okay manicured. Like they've just let it go. Like it's just weeds. It's kind of freaky. Beyond that, well, that was a fun trip. When do you plan on going back?
I think we're talking about maybe a show trip coming up to... We talking about that, or isn't that what? Aren't we talking about going to support the release of the?
In the summer, yeah, that's gonna be like in June.
Yeah,
I'll probably hit there before June. I'll be bid
out. I don't know if I'll be before June, unless you never know what happens.
You never know. I'll be there before June. You can find me there.
I'm never going again.
All right, we always want to bring you up to date information from people that are on the ground, and obviously you heard from Sparkly Nicole at Walt Disney World, and we told you we'd have a correspondent at Disneyland, and that is if you're following on Twitter at Disneyland Gin, the wonderful world of gin. Jen Seculo is joining us. Also, my cousin, if you hear me slip and say Jenny, I apologize ahead of time, but I just can't help it. It's only been ingrained in my mind for 20-something years. So, Jen, welcome to the broadcast. Welcome to WDW Today.
Thank you. It's great to finally be on. I'm so excited.
Absolutely. So you just went to Disneyland just a couple days ago and experienced what a lot of people are just starting to really figure out how it's going down, which is a bunch of closures that are currently happening for the upcoming Star Wars land.
Yeah, no, it's a little crazy right now because on top of the Star Wars closures, you also have a lot of the rides being revamped from the Christmas season.
Oh, yeah.
So Haunted Mansion just reopened a few days ago. The Jungle Cruise is still down. Autotopia is down. Then you also have Small World down. So that on top of Frontierland is basically closed. The only thing really still open in Disneyland right now in Frontierland is Thunder Mountain. Like, that's the big thing that's still open. The railroad is closed. The Davy Crockett canoes are closed. The riverboat, the Columbia boat, Tom Sawyer Island, Fantastic's not happening. It's definitely a change.
Yeah, that's right. And with all those closures, what's it like experiencing the park? Does it feel like everything is... I mean, it's already... If you haven't been to Disneyland, it's already a much more tight experience, I'd say. It's a smaller park, but it's also just... It wasn't necessarily laid out to hold the crowds that sometimes it's getting now when everything is open. So what was it like for you? I know it's starting to be a little bit of a slower time, but at Disneyland, just due to the locals like yourself, it's never necessarily that slow of a time. But how did it feel walking around knowing not only that a lot of it was closed, but how did it feel with the crowd?
Yeah, it was, you could tell that it was a little bit different funneling everyone. One of the big things is actually where they connect Frontierland directly into Fantasyland, that little road has closed because that's where they're starting the construction. So you have the only way to really access Fantasyland is you have to go either through the castle or around Tomorrowland. So it's definitely a whole different navigation. And I think it will take a little bit of getting used to because you still have people, trying to go around to where all the stuff was. And now you have to find your way around again. So it'll take some time, but it wasn't too bad. I was expecting it to be a little bit worse. But like you said, it is considered a downtime at Disneyland, even though, like you said, the locals don't really see it as that. There's always going to be a crowd.
Yeah, when you've been going the same direction for 60 years, to say something is closed is probably a little bit harder. But
Now, my first thing that comes to mind with the closures is they've closed Big Thunder Ranch. Mm-hmm. So are the goats just roaming around the park aimlessly now with the Disneyland cats?
Oh, no, that would be a sight to see. The cats themselves are fun to spot, but no, goats would be a whole different story. No, from my understanding, from what I heard, that the goats have all found proper homes with a new ranch, and that it's also with families that have taken animals from Disneyland before. So the animals are being taken care of. The goats are fine.
Mm.
So how cool would that be if you're like, this is my rescue goat. it's a rescue.
It's a rescue.
This goat's a rescue. From where? Disneyland.
That seems like he's more in risk
with
you.
Got it out of the Disneyland kill shelter.
Yeah, if they would have sold those, Amanda's always begged for a goat or something like that. Amanda, my wife, if you don't know, is always begged for a goat or those kind of animals. If it was a Disneyland goat, I probably would have been okay with it. That's the only way we would have ended up with a goat at our house. They could have made a killing selling those goats. But unfortunately, they did not. Now, you also got to do, which is not new for a lot of people because it's been going on for the last few months, but something that especially us on this side of the country are not going to be able to experience, which is Hyperspace Mountain, right?
Yes, it was amazing. I'm going to be so sad when they take it away.
Which is going to be a question of when they take it away, because I was just out with Jen last week. We were out shooting an interview with the legend Dick Van Dyke, which will be coming partially on the show once some announcements have been made that we can't get into just yet, but you'll be able to hear some of that. And guess what you get to hear? Dick Van Dyke talk about Avatar Land. Dick Van Dyke talk about Hollywood Studios. So we got some interesting topics on there, but that's just a little bit of a tease to what's coming up. But I wasn't able to go out and experience any of the new Star Wars stuff at Disneyland. And that Hyperspace Mountain, I've watched a POV video, and it looks pretty awesome.
It is, like, I have told every single person that has ridden it that is even thinking about going, I'm like, you need to go see this, because I think Space Mountain at Disneyland is one of my favorite rides, and I think it just adds a whole new level to it. I've been on when they do Ghost Galaxy on Halloween time, and so I've seen an overlay on the Space Mountain, but Hyperspace Mountain is just such an experience. They start you from the beginning, like you take off and you have the Star Wars theme music, you have Admiral Ackbar like talking to you, and it's just fantastic. The overlay just adds a whole new element to it, and it's like words cannot describe how amazing it is.
Oh, sounds fantastic.
Yeah, you're killing us. You're killing us.
Do we need to start like tweeting Bob Iger and be like, keep Hyperspace Mountain alive? Don't let it go away.
I think they should just not get rid of it for a long time, because it's just so much better. And they added a new video to it, so it's not, you know, even though the classic video that you see before going on the ride is great, like in lines. But I think it's just so much better with Admiral Ackbar and the whole Star Wars experience.
And there's no announced timeline of when they're taking the Hyperspace Mountain away.
Yeah, I don't think there's been a formal announcement. I've heard May, sometime in May might be the cutoff, but that's still just rumor. I don't think they've officially made the announcement yet.
All right, well, that was great. Such great coverage from you, Jen. Thank you so much for joining us and being our correspondent on the West Coast. We really are thrilled to have you, and let us know next time you're in the parks. We'll definitely tell everyone you're there. And you're going to be joining us next week on our Valentine's Day episode to tell about something a little bit more special that happened to you during your trip to Disneyland to check out the closures, is what you thought was going to happen. We'll get into what happened next week. And how can people follow you?
So you can follow me on Twitter at DisneylandJen. And I will also be starting to post YouTube videos on a channel that I will be linked to that. Once I know I'm posting videos, you'll know. And I'm excited to get you guys updated on everything Disney and Disneyland.
That's great. Thank you so much, Jen. We'll be right back, guys, with listener questions with Lynn or maybe another special guest. We'll see.
Laugh-o-gram, get the funny. Without all the news.
Hope you're enjoying the show, but I wanted to take a little bit of time to talk to you about Laugh-O-Gram, the comic strip paper. Now, you may have heard that we're coming to you from the Laugh-O-Gram studios. That's because this is our project, and what it is, it's bringing back the funny pages. You probably remember as a kid waking up, getting the newspaper, and your dad or your mom handing you those classic comic strips, those funnies. We've combined them into a giant magazine that comes once a month, still presented on newsprint, so it'll have that classic feel, and it's over 20 pages of classics and brand new comic strips from Disney animators like Tom Bancroft and many, many more. Make sure you check it out at laughogrampaper.com. And for a limited time only, if you use the promo code WDW today, that's one word, WDW today, your first issue is 100% free, not even shipping and handling. Give it a try, cancel anytime. laughogrampaper.com.
Laughogram, get the funnies without all the news. It's time for listener questions with Lynn.
All right, so that intro was a little misleading. It is not today listener questions with Lynn Testa, but instead we called on our friends. We called some of the other WDW Today guys, but it was last minute, unfortunately. But we are joined by our friends from across the pond on the Diz After Dark podcast. You haven't listened to that. Make sure you go subscribe to their podcast. They are great guys. Sometimes not safe for the little ears. We're joined by Paul and Paul from the Diz After Dark podcast. Just a couple guys out of a large group of guys that are now part of the show. Welcome.
Hi, guys.
Hey. Tell our audience a little bit about your podcast and what makes it different, because it is. I've been on the show a couple times. It's really one of the more fun shows you can listen to, maybe a little bit more adult theme, but why should people check you out?
Okay, well, we've been going for about 4 years. We're based in the UK. We've recently added Chris and Paul H. Originally, it was another Paul, Paul B, Nick, and myself. And our podcast is set in a virtual English pub called The Mouse's Head. So we normally start the show with a drink each. So we ask who's drinking what. So in this case, I didn't want to let you guys down. So I've got a cider here.
They're not virtual drinks. They're actual real drinks.
I wish I had a Fuller's
real
right
drinks.
Now.
Yeah.
Yes, I had to connect at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon our time, and I was still asked what I was drinking. So, I know the show. I'm a listener. So is there a Disney tie-in to your drink tonight?
I'm struggling a little bit. I got a kiwi and lime cider, so I was really struggling to come up with a Disney connection to this one. I think I'm just going to enjoy the beverage tonight.
Okay,
since
that's
not
in
the Mouse's Head.
Old Key West.
What if you're in the kiwi, 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 kiwi room?
Ha!
That'll work for me. Any excuse. Once I've got the Disney connection, I can start drinking, so I'll take that one.
Well, on with listener questions. So Will's going to lead us with our first question of the day.
Our first question is from Vicky on Twitter.
That's something to bring up. We're now taking Twitter questions, so make sure you tweet us at WDW Today Podcast.
Vicky wants to know, what do you think of the Backstage Magic Tour, and what do you think about doing it alone? The hubby will be with the kids.
So that's an interesting question. I think we can kind of broaden that out to have any of you guys done the Kings of the Kingdom tour?
Yeah, and Vicky actually said she's done Keys to the Kingdom.
I'm sorry, which was the tour they wanted? Backstage Magic. Have you guys done the Backstage Magic tour?
You know, I'm a purist especially in the Magic Kingdom, I don't want to ruin the magic.
All right. Guys, what about you guys? Paul?
I was planning on doing it the last time I came over. I was going to do the Keys to the Kingdom, but it was fully booked, sadly, so I've not managed to do any of them, but I would like to definitely do one the next time I'm over.
Yeah, I have actually done some of the tours, not necessarily this specific one, but I also have been backstage a lot at the Magic Kingdom. Will and I have been through the Utilidor, I believe. At least I have. I think you were there too, right? Yeah, we were in the Utilidor. We've seen everything behind the scenes. It's really crazy. It's amazing. But does, you're right, take away the magic a little bit. But what I do want to talk about is just doing the tours solo. And I think, actually, if you're traveling solo, that is a great way to do that. Not feel isolated, not feel alone, because you'll have someone to talk to. You'll be part of the group. You'll be able to talk to the tour guide. It'd be still an interactive experience. I wish I did that the last time I went solo. Last time I did solo, I just threw an audiobook in my headphones and weirdly walked around the Disneyland Resort listening to Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows.
Which is odd that you weren't at Universal doing that. Well, but that's another topic.
We brought on Paul and Paul, so I had to throw in, because all of you people love Harry Potter, right?
Oh, yeah. 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 I'm a Harry Potter fan as well as a Disney fan.
Yeah.
Sure.
Of course. Who isn't? All right. I'm going to take the next question. This, Terry, maybe you could speak to. This is from Keith on Twitter also. He said, Star Wars fireworks at DHS, are they running for the year? Is there an announced end date? Do we know anything about that?
They haven't announced anything, and I'd be shocked if they stopped.
Yeah, it feels like it's something that's set in stone for right now, at least until, I mean, God, at least until Star Wars Land.
Yeah, so. Which would be weird if they opened up Star Wars Land and then stopped the...
Yeah, I think they've that's there to stay. It is amazing. If you're a Star Wars fan, it's a great thing. It's a must-see for sure. All right, guys, have you experienced the Star Wars fireworks yet?
No, not yet.
No, I don't know when you guys were last year, but you guys go to
the fireworks again.
You guys end up in Paris quite a bit, right?
Sure, yeah, that's our local park. In fact, one of our co-hosts, Nick, is there right now. He just arrived today.
Do you think, you've been to now, I've been to Paris too, but it's been quite a few years. For our American listeners, which is for us 95% of our listeners, is it worth the trip, do you think, to Disneyland Paris if you're a Walt Disney World regular?
Well, I mean, I think you wouldn't take the trip just to see Disneyland Paris, but if you're coming over to visit Paris or France, and you're a Disney fan, then yeah, it's so close to Paris and so easy to get to. You can take the train right into the equivalent of downtown Disney, and it's a beautiful park. Well, two parks, but the Magic Kingdom equivalent park is a beautiful park.
Yeah, the studios is a little on the stranger side, I'd say. The one time I've been there, it felt a little out of place, but there's some really cool attractions. So I haven't done that Ratatouille one.
It is awesome. Having some work done on it at the moment. As one of the shows has just closed with a new one due to open in about 6 months' time, I think.
Yeah, definitely check out Disneyland so Paris.
I have a non-listener question before I ask this listener question. Uh-huh. From the guys from across the pond, what do you guys think, if you've been listening to the podcast, of Logan's attempt at a British accent on his Spice World references?
Have I done?
It's better than Matt Hochberg's.
I mean, that's going to be the new
it's
ad.
It's go blame me, governor.
yeah. Exactly. So, yeah, I'm clipping that as the
big improvement.
Big improvement. That's. I'm going to just clip that part out. Better than Matt Hochberg, it's a big improvement. That's going to be the quote that's on our website.
That's actually going to be a blurb about the entire podcast. Yeah. It's reviewed by you guys.
And hey, I can't help that I have a love for the Spice Girls. It comes up every show, unfortunately, or fortunately. And someone did troll me the other day and tweeted me that if I would like Emma Bunton on the podcast, they can hook that up. And I had a moment. I had a freak out moment. I tweeted back and they're like, no, you thought I was serious? And I did. And then someone said, well, you just talked to Dick Van Dyke, interviewed Dick Van Dyke. Isn't that a little bit bigger deal than getting a Spice Girl? And I didn't want to answer that truthfully. then, Terry, why don't you take the next question?
So Chris from Tampa, who's graciously left off as their last name, which we appreciate.
I think they just assume that we know who he is. He's Chris from Tampa. I think he's Chris from Tampa. He's probably a regular.
Yeah, because there's only one Chris in Tampa, I'm sure. Yeah. My wife and I recently let our annual passes expire for the usual reason, but still love WDW. What would be your idea of a great four-day vacation at the World for two adults without park tickets?
All right, let everyone sink that in. Let's kind of rephrase that. So we're thinking 4 days at Walt Disney World without visiting a theme park. So let everyone think about that for a second. When you have something, feel free to step in.
I love Putt-Putt at Disney World.
The Fantasia Putt-Putt or the Winter Summerland one?
Yes, but I prefer Winter Summerland because there are two courses, but that's a fun something to go and do. There's lots of dining at the resorts. And
yeah, I would jump in on there. Obviously, you can go to the resorts for dining. You can go to Disney Springs. There's a lot of entertainment there. And something we talked about earlier, I'm interested in going to the boathouse and checking out those new car boats, things like that that are you can enjoy being outside in Florida. Maybe even go camping at Fort Wilderness Lodge.
That's what I was going to say. Fort Wilderness is my go-to because there's a lot of attraction-ish things you can do there that are little to no money. And that includes there's, you know, Campfire with Chip and Dale. I mean, that's a character meet and greet without spending a dollar, and it's there. There's obviously the Hoop to Do review. There's
which Trails costs End, more than a dollar.
Which costs more than a dollar. Trails Inn, which is a fun dining experience. There's also the Davy Crockett Tavern, Crockett's Tavern, which is just cool to drink at a Davy Crockett themed place. Also beautiful. You can do horseback rides, horse-drawn carriages. I've kind of fallen in love with Fort Wilderness over the last couple of years since I've had my son, but this is without kids, but still you can go travel to Circle D Ranch. There's some great Walt stuff there. You can see the original kind of Calliope that was at the opening day of Disneyland, and it's still there. So there's a lot of great Disney history over there at Fort Wilderness. What do you think, guys?
Well, for me, I'm a golfer, so there's lots of good golf courses there and the putt-putt. Yeah. But also, you got like the boardwalk area, and you know, at night, that's a fun place to hang out. You got entertainers there, jugglers, comedians, some great places to eat. You got the Jelly Rolls, Jill and Piano Bar, so there's quite a lot in that area.
Which Jelly Rolls is also great for a fine bachelorette party.
The other Paul, who's not the other Paul, but you know what I mean. What do you think?
I definitely agree with Disney Springs. The upgrades in the restaurants in Disney Springs recently, like Morimoto Asia, Boathouse, even Jock Lindsay's Hangar Bar. I think there's a great selection of different restaurants and entertainment venues in Disney Springs now.
And I think you brought up a good point with golf, because there's golf, there's bass fishing there. I mean, honestly, go online, look at all the random activities you can do that have absolutely nothing to do with going in a park, and I think you're going to be thrilled. The golf is a great option. I've never golfed the courses myself. but I've never played the courses. I've never golfed the courses.
Golf the courses?
I've never played the courses myself, but Paul, so do you have a suggestion on any of the courses, or are they all, you know, pretty substantial?
The only one I've played is the one that runs through the old Key West Resort. I think that's Lake Buena Vista, I think.
I think so,
That's a nice course, some great holes on it. But I think there's like four or five courses to play, and obviously one of them is hosts a PGA Championship every October, I believe. Yep. So they got some really good facilities there.
As they happily let you know when you're on the monorail, they like they try to let, like, you're driving into the kingdom, and it's like, and we want you to remember one more time, we host a PGA tour here on these golf courses.
I've actually been to that. I've actually been as a spectator. It's been a number of years, but I was a spectator of that a few times.
We also can't forget the water parks. I know they're saying not a park, but I kind of consider the water parks a little separate than the traditional parks. And if you're in Florida, especially if it's a warmer month, it's a fun thing to do.
And, you know, we're going to be covering, obviously, more of those little things. I think that is sort of the forgotten Disney World, weirdly, is you think of the four parks. Maybe you think of the water parks. Maybe you think of Downtown Disney Disney Springs. But you don't necessarily think of the random activities. Like, I'm going to get Terry to parasail for us. And let us know how that goes. And, you know, those kind of things that I think that are just as important. Not just as important. They're different experiences. But maybe for adults, that's a great way to do it. You could do the monorail crawl, go on the monorail, and, stop at each location, go in, have a bite to eat, have a drink.
Yeah, I feel like Trader Sam's should count as
Trader
a theme park
Sam's.
Now.
I can spend days in Trader Sam's.
A lot of great establishments that go along with the Diz After Dark audiences, guys.
Well, yeah, I mean, I want a bar hopper pass. You know, just go around the monorail loop.
That's called Epcot.
But if you haven't got a park ticket, that's like the poor man's equivalent.
That's right.
And, of course, you can watch the fireworks, and you can do a lot of things. Weirdly, there's obviously, other than character dining, there are a lot of ways you can experience some of the stuff that's in the theme parks. And that would be, obviously, if you want to see Wishes, you can go to any of the Magic Kingdom resorts and see some view of it. I prefer the Grand Floridian one, and it will does.
Grand Floridian's definitely my favorite for that.
Yeah, for the actual view of the fireworks, but you can also go to the Polynesian.
The beach of the Polynesian
is really
great.
Fun. There's a lot of different ways you can do it from the TTA, whatever they call it, the Ticket Transportation Center, the TTC. Sorry, the TTA is the old monorail.
Now, I think one of the things that I love about Disney is obviously the monorail, and you can ride the monorail. You can ride the friendship boats in between Epcot, which, you know, if you're not theme parking but want to have some of those theme park type experiences, you know, there's lots to do.
Brought that for Wishes. Now, for Illuminations, you can watch Illuminations kind of from the boardwalk.
Kind of the big
firework.
Yeah.
You know, the big stuff. And then the Star Wars one, I mean, theoretically, you could just go stand out in the entryway or parking lot.
Yeah.
And I don't know how well you'll hear it. Probably decent. But you'll definitely see it because they launch them from right there. So,
what's better, in you guys' opinion, Harry Potter or Star Wars?
Ooh, that's tough. Oh, that's a really difficult one, that is. I got to say Star Wars, I think, just given the latest film and what I'm looking forward to them doing with Star Wars Land.
Yeah.
But Harry Potter is a close second.
Yeah. And I have to say, if you're going to go venture into the dark side of Universal Studios, you have to go check out, if you're a Potter fan at all. Honestly, that Universal, I was a sort of small fan of Harry Potter, and I would say I liked them. I liked the movies. I probably skipped a movie here and there, but I went and did the first big opening of Hogsmeade at Islands of Adventure and became a super fan after that because they did such a good job making that feel like you're stepping inside the books and the movies. And, you know, we got the play coming up next year. I think they've already said they're adapting it to a book. So we'll have some more Potter stuff coming up next year.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure you guys got your tickets. I'm sure you made it through the lottery to go to the show.
No, I did not. I did try, but failed.
I did too.
So I'm hoping to pick up a ticket later. But the other thing is, if anybody is coming to London or passing through London, there is the Harry Potter Studio Tour, which is just a little bit north of London and quite easy to get to. And that's a fun day. If you're a Potter fan, that's an unmissable trip.
Logan and I actually got to do that last summer. Actually, 2 summers ago, rather.
Yeah, was it
two summers? It was 2014. Yeah. Summer 2014. Logan and I got to go do that, and that was one of the more life-changing events.
I loved
it. It was just incredible.
And you can see the full-size sets, everything. It was great.
So we're kind of hoping that as a lot of the Star Wars films were actually shot in the UK, that they would do something similar with like a Star Wars tour at some point in the future. That'd be great.
We'll petition Pinewood to open up a spot for that. That would be awesome. I was there over the summer. I was pretty much begging anyone who I possibly could know because I had to see the Millennium Falcon. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. But we were able to go to Harry Potter. I did see, though, that one of the things they're doing, and this is way off topic of Disney, but at that Harry Potter experience thing they're doing, they're also doing now like Valentine's Day dinner in the Great Hall, and they're doing special events like that. So make sure to check a look because it was really neat. But let's move on to, we have a couple more questions coming in. And do I have the next question?
I can take it.
All right, cool.
Next question is from Jason Eatman in Los Osos, California.
We'll go with that.
Hey guys, I'm gearing up for a trip to Disneyland, and I'm trying to decide if I should use an independent travel agent, such as your sponsor or AAA. Thanks for your time.
Well, I mean, Jason, I don't know what you want us to tell you, but full disclosure, obviously, our main sponsor, our title sponsor, our presenting sponsor is Off to Neverland Travel, and I have booked with a travel agent. I have booked without it. And as long as you have a competent travel agent that are experts, they really can help you, especially if it's your first trip to Disneyland and you don't know what you're experiencing. It's a totally different world out there when it comes to where you park, where you stay, on property or off. There's so many variables that are so much different at Disneyland.
Now, I will say there is a perk with AAA if you get their fancy parking pass. But I would happily, knowing the services that Off to Neverland provides, I would trade in the awesome parking for knowing that all of my fast pass can be taken care of, for knowing that someone can help me make the dining reservations, because that's a huge time saver when it comes to planning a trip.
And for the AAA deal, I'm a AAA member, and I had that parking for years at Walt Disney World. And all you really have to do, and this is just kind of a fun tip, is you have to just buy something Disney from them, whether that's go in there and buy a gift card or buy a ticket or buy an annual pass through them, and they'll typically give you that. And honestly, a lot of these people are pretty lax. If you just say, hey, I'm here, I'd like to get that premier parking, sometimes you'll end up with it, or maybe you can go on Craigslist or eBay and end up with it for like $15, and then you're fine, or print out your own. They're pretty lax on that AAA parking, and it does save you a lot of time. Guys, have you had any experience? No, it's different. And that can talk. I mean, we have hundreds of listeners in the UK and overseas. How does planning a trip work for you all to Walt Disney World? Is it direct through Disney? Do you have a middleman? I know it's a different, whole different experience.
We've got a few middlemen. Virgin have got their own holiday company over here. I tend to do mine all myself. I do it all through Disney, and then book the flight separately. So it's quite different over here. It's not, no one's kind of set aside just to do Disney stuff like you've got over there. It's kind of just one big group holiday company that does everything, rather than just the individual Disney holidays.
But what you don't get here is you don't get those Disney planner travel agents like your sponsor.
Right.
So it is a general travel agent. You know, you can book the hotel, you can book the park passes, and the flights, but not the fast passes and the dinner reservations and that kind of thing. Although you can do that from the UK, obviously, through the wonder of the interweb. And I certainly have had quotes and made some arrangements through a US-based Disney specialist travel agent, and then I've just fixed up my own flights. So you can still access that service. And if you haven't been before, you know, it's an expensive trip. It's a big trip from the UK. So if somebody's in doubt and they want that kind of assistance, I think it is worth looking into.
All right. I think that's a really good tip for those who are listening. We typically focus on our home country, but fortunately, we have listeners from all over the world. When you get our analytics back, it's pretty crazy to see how many people listen. Like I said, about 90% listen from the States, but that's still 10% that's listening from other places. So thanks, Paul. We got time for one more question.
I like how you're saying thanks, Paul, but you're meaning both Pauls.
I meant that Paul.
I thought you meant the generalized Paul.
The royal Paul.
Yeah, that's a problem we've got. We got too many Pauls. Three Pauls on one podcast. It's too much.
Someone should change their name.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty. So you got Paul. You got Craig. You got, what are the other names of the guys on your podcast?
Nick.
Oh, yeah,
and Chris.
Yep. Very, very standard one syllable name. So it's easy. We're Logan, Terry, and Will, so it's a little easier. But
I think Will's name would fit in better. Mighty fine.
Yeah,
on
Will's
your podcast.
Fine. Logan would be fine if this was a Scottish podcast.
Yeah. But, sure would.
but not other than that. All right, let's get on to the last question of the day, and it's a doozy. Unfortunately, I haven't read it out loud, so let's try this. About 3 years ago, this is from Spencer from Canada, because you know what? We're this is an international show. About 3 years ago, my family discovered a great place to watch Wishes that I've never seen before or since. We were getting tired and decided to leave the Magic Kingdom after the nighttime parade to beat the crowds to the monorail. We got back to the TTC, and we saw that it was almost time for Wishes to start, and a very small group of people over by the ferry dock where the Wishes music was playing. We stayed and watched the fireworks show with a straight-on view of the castle, full of music and no crowds whatsoever. You could see every single firework clear as day, and I don't think there was a better view of the fireworks. Have any of you experienced Wishes from the dock? This was a while ago. And, you know, it kind of goes on. It also says thank you to Lynn, who's not here. So, Lynn, thank you. And they say I don't get to the park as often as I'd like. My family decides to watch Wishes. That's where we're going from now on. There are a lot of hidden spots. We actually kind of just mentioned that in the last comment, that you can watch them from if you're going alone or if you're going without park tickets.
Yeah, because our friends from Tampa asked, what are something you can do? And obviously you can do the fireworks cruise, which is fantastic, but I think they're trying to save money.
Yeah.
So you can do the poor man's fireworks cruise, which is getting on the ferry and riding that across. And I've seen the fireworks from the upper deck of that, and that is pretty cool, and it just has a cool experience.
Yeah.
And
I've seen it just in passing as I've been walking, trying to get out before all the crowds are, so I can't say I've sat through it. So what about you guys?
Yeah, we just exactly the same as Will said. We left early one night, and we were on the ferry going back to the TTC, and just by luck, Wishes started up. So we started watching it from the top deck of the boat, and then the boat docked, and we finished watching it from the dock, and it was a good view. It was great.
Yeah, it's not bad at all. I think there are a lot of those hidden spots or fireworks viewings outside of the parks. It just depends. Now, I have to say, for me, for Wishes, if you're going the top two in the park, I don't think you really can beat. I know the crowds are insane. And look, I am someone whose family has people with some crowd anxiety issues. Sometimes we can't stay in the parks for those fireworks. You do find alternate places to see them. There's also, obviously, we brought up the California Grill. It's another great option if you are not on a budget and have a place. Or if you're a DVC member, you can watch it from the top of the world.
Top of the world,
which I've never been to because you guys are selfish and keep it from me.
Hey, next time we're on property and you're with me, we will top of the world it.
Someone just needs to get me a bootleg card. What do you call it? I need a counterfeit.
Well, you have to be not only a DVC member, but you have to be staying on property on points. So,
well, there you go.
That's what keeps the crowd small.
That's disappointing. So, are there any other DVC hidden places?
They're opening some new ones. They're opening a lounge, I believe, in the Imagination Pavilion.
Oh, yeah.
Epcot.
Oh, yeah. Upstairs. We used to be like the arcade and the pinball area.
Yeah. So they're opening up some. it's the year of the DVC. I think it's the 25th anniversary. So they're doing lots of fun things. And hopefully, as a show, we'll get to go experience some of those things. And
yeah, I'd love to check out that Imagination. I haven't been up there since I was a kid. And man, I loved it there. All right. Well, I think that is going to do it for listener questions. But Paul, I want to talk to you again a little bit just about your podcast. How can people find out about it? What are kind of the topics you cover? Is it all things Disney, just Disney parks?
Yeah, we cover all the Disney parks. I mean, we've mainly visited Disneyland Paris in Florida, Disney World, but we've got quite a broad experience, I guess, between us. One of the co-hosts visited Disneyland Hong Kong. Most of us, or some of us, have been to Disneyland in California and Disney Cruises. So we talk about anything Disney, movies, theme parks, news, rumors, but we also touch on other Florida attractions, and we're a little bit adult, not extreme. I think
not like
we're
it used to be.
Mostly family friendly, but the odd little naughty word might slip out, nothing too bad. But we try and have a fun time, and it's just a bunch of guys talking about Disney and theme parks in general.
Yeah. It's a great show. I can encourage you all to listen to it. It's a totally different podcasting experience for Disney. You know, sometimes it's hard to find. A lot of us just sit here and talk about Disney World. There's nothing wrong with that. These guys have been running on this for 10 years, and we're happy to have taken the reins and gone from here. But those guys definitely create a unique experience. And how can, obviously, go to iTunes, search for Diz After Dark, but their website or social media people can follow?
Yeah, our website is DizAfterDark.com. You can email us on podcast@DizAfterDark.com if you want more information. And we're starting to push our blog a little bit more. So that's disafterdark.blogspot.co.uk, I think. Is that right, Paul?
Yep, that's right. Yep.
Well, that's great. That's a great way for you guys to connect with him. Again, I encourage you, the shows come out, what, every 2 weeks?
Every 2 weeks, yeah. Or every fortnight, as we say in the UK.
Every fortnight. I'm going to start saying
fortnight.
I'm just going to, that's going to be added to our lexicon. Our show comes out at least.
Every half fortnight.
Every quarter fortnight.
Half fortnight.
Half fortnight. So there you go. All right, guys. Well, we really appreciate you joining us here on WDW Today. I love your show. You can go back and listen. I've been on a couple of the episodes. I was on the July 4th show, which I actually weirdly recorded while I was in England. But not with the guys, so unfortunately. But I was there. It is a it's a fairly adult version of the show. Because I think that you guys had fun on July 4th. It was very it was a fun time.
Celebrating the time you got rid of that terrible colony.
Yep.
It's just a shame that we don't get a public holiday for it as well.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and make sure you check out those guys over at Diz After Dark. So before we wrap up the show today, we teased it a little bit earlier, but we want to do a little bit of a flashback to an episode that's just over a year old. It came out originally on January 28th, 2015. It was episode 1445, and it's when Mike Newell revealed that he knew a Vagoda. It's a really interesting and really funny story from the guys. And of course, we're doing this because sadly, Abe Vagoda just passed away back on January 26th of this year. So just almost an entire year later, almost one full year to the day when this inside joke began is when sadly Mr. Vagoda passed away. So this one's for Abe and also, of course, to Mr. Mike Newell. Take it away, guys.
Speaking of Abe Vagoda, I actually know him. I've been in his home several times.
You've been in Abe Vagoda's home.
Yeah, my line of work.
Stop.
I swear.
I have known you for 10 years, and in 10 years, you're telling me the fact that you know Abe Vagoda and have been in the man's home has never once come up in conversation.
It's not something you bring up in everyday.
I love you, Newell. You are lying through your
teeth. No, it's the,
do not know.
It's the gods. I can tell you exactly where he lives.
I will be disproving this. How, dear Mr. Vagoda?
His phone goes out from time to time, and I go to his house.
And does he know you as, hey Mike, how's it going, or are you like?
He calls me kid. Thanks for coming by, kid.
He's older than everyone on earth. He calls everyone kid.
Well, it's like Scopa. That's what he calls me. He actually walked past our building one day, and we were standing in front. He came up to us. He says, "Hey, do you guys mind if I use your can?" We let him in.
That I believe. And we let him in. Like, in my head, that's exactly how it would go to sound.
But he's the nicest guy. And one time, he almost knocked me over. I was getting on a downtown bus on Lexington Avenue, and he jumped the line and he elbowed me. That's the God's honest truth. I am not making that up.
I would have to knock over a vase in his house or something.
And I had my fists were clenched. I was all ready to go. And I was like, oh, my God, it's Abe Vagoda.
Yeah. All right.
Go ahead.
All right. Only because you
respect.
Exactly.
Oh, that's funny.
Did he turn to you and look at you and say, I'm sorry, Mikey, it was only business?
No, he said kid. Did he? Sorry, kid. Yeah,
sorry, kid, it's only business. Look, I always liked it. I always liked it. It's only business. Yeah.
And then he got into the bus and he left, and that was the end. Never saw him again.
All right, I'm not even drinking tonight. The live show is drinking now. It's a sober one. Anyway,
next email is from Travis Allen.
We just did 9 minutes on Abe Vagoda.
It's great.
Well, that will do it for WDW Today this week. I hope you liked that flashback. I hope you liked the Diz After Dark, guys. But Lynn Testa will return next week with some great stories, I'm sure, because I've been following along on his Twitter, and I've been texting with him. And boy, does he have some stories to share, and can't wait to get that to you guys. And of course, we always want to thank our house band, Off Kilter. You can find out more about Off Kilter at offkilter.net. Or find them on Facebook, on social media. You can join the Save Off Kilter group. Of course, they're the incredible band that not only plays for us, but played for many, many, many years, thousands of shows at Epcot. So you may have seen them by walking by. You may have sat down and enjoyed their shows like I did many, many times. So remember, offkilter.net. They're always playing shows around. They got an upcoming CD release party. We hope to be a part of that, and hopefully you'll see us there soon. Well, we obviously couldn't do this broadcast without our friends at Off to Neverland. They are an excellent organization. As Will would say, all you have to do is just pack. They will plan out every detail of your vacation, from getting your tickets, your hotels, whatever you need, planning daily itineraries. Work with one of their magic makers. Get connected. I'm sure you're going to love the service. Go to Neverland.com. Remember to use that domain. Go to Neverland.com because that tells them you heard about them right here on WDW Today. You can always rate and review us on iTunes. We appreciate that. Search for WDW Today on iTunes. Let them know that you like this show. It really helps us out a lot as the show continues to grow. And obviously, you can find us on all social media outlets, Facebook, WDW Today, Twitter, at WDW Today Podcast, Instagram, same thing, at WDW Today Podcast, and that'll be growing. Make sure to check out our correspondents, Sparkly Nicole, Disneyland Jen, and that will do it for today's show. I'm your host, Logan Seculo. That was Terry Weaver, Will Haynes, the boys at Diz After Dark, Paul and Paul, and we will talk to you on the next show.